Imagine an app designed to make you use it less. Seems counterproductive, right? Well, Apartments.com's instant alert feature works exactly that way. Instead of scanning rental listings a million times a day, simply set and forget your search to whatever you're looking for in the place and let Apartments.com do the rest. From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tool lets you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking is listed. So now you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alert means you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time to do you. Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
How do you pronounce it, Mo?
It's pronounced Wunderbar.
It's not Wunderbarg?
It's not Wunderbarg. No.
Do you speak German, Chelsea?
No, sprechen Sie Deutsch.
I don't sprechen Sie Deutsch. About German, it sounds so, it's just, honestly, I love German accents.
It's a very aggressive language.
And whenever I was saying how much I love Heidi Klum, who's like, just like so soft and demure, and then she has like this like aggressive German accent.
My mother, we're joined by I'm going to introduce myself. This is Chelsea Handler, and my mother was German, but she wasn't your typical like scary accent German, because my dad was Jewish, so I have a very, you know, I'm very sensitive to German accents. I don't know if you guys know about the history of Germans and Jews, but some shit went down.
No one's told me. Can you believe that? No one's mentioned it to me.
So yeah, the first time, so my mom spoke in a German accent growing up, and it was really like sweet and elegant. It wasn't that harsh kind of German that, you know, that stereotypical German, but
drag Heidi Klum.
Yes, my very first trip to Austria, where they speak German, I was on a train to Zermatt, Switzerland. I was in Switzerland going on the train to Zermatt, which is a ski town, right? A ski resort. Mm-hmm. And they had the conductor on the train was this very thick German accent. And I got so sick on that train ride up, because it was all too much as a Jewish person to hear a German person yelling at you on a train, no less. You know what I mean? And by the time I got to Zermatt, I was in bed for 3 days. I was like, I can't hear that accent again for 3 days. But everyone in Switzerland has that accent, so because so many Germans are there. So anyway, yeah, it's a trigger.
Cancel the train to Zermatt. The train is getting fully canceled.
Yeah. Sibling advice for your listeners. Let me tell you something. Y'all are in for a mother tucking treat. We have the Duchess of Comedy in the house. A woman that I
why
fucking
are you introducing
stand.
Chelsea? Like
she's
like,
Duchess
like,
of Comedy. No, son.
This is a hip hop podcast.
Yeah,
we got the Duchess of Comedy, the Queen of the House.
We got Chelsea Handler in the house. Hi Chelsea.
Hi Monet. Hi Bob.
It is such a pleasure having you here. You know, Chelsea, I have chased you around the continental United States, and you keep on eluding me. Evading me.
It's evading. It's actually avoiding, but you could say evading.
You're funny. You should
do comedy. We are so happy that you have on the podcast. I went to Mateo Lane opened for you, and Mateo Lane is a very good friend of ours. We hung out with Mateo Lane a lot, and he was opening for you. And he was inviting me to the show, and I ended up missing my flight to New York, so I missed that show. And my boyfriend heard about that story, and he bought me tickets to see you in Portland, and I missed you in Portland.
Oh, I told Chelsea this story on the podcast. Oh. You didn't listen. Why you didn't listen?
I haven't listened yet.
Well, Bob is a much better friend than you give her credit for, and him, because he already told me this story on my podcast, and we are already hooking you up with tickets for the Wiltern. I think is in May here. I'm doing two shows, so
May 5th.
Yeah, May 5th. Yeah. So you can come to those shows and then come backstage so we can hang out.
I would love that,
Chelsea. Were you at the Wiltern? Is that where Drag Queen Christmas was?
Yeah, at Wiltern.
That's where we saw Todrick at the... It's a really nice
venue. Yeah, that's a cool venue.
And it's right there in Koreatown. Yeah.
Do you still get jealous of other comedians?
Because
I do.
Question.
I get jealous of other drag queens sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. I just found out that like one of my peers is doing like Radio City Music Hall. And I was like... I was at the Yuck Yuck Comedy Club in Andalusia, Alabama this past weekend. And I was like, why am the chuckle shack.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah, of course. We talked about this too. Like, that's a very natural emotion to come up. You know, we talked about this when you did my podcast that, like, yeah, you cut.
Yeah, Bob, did you listen to your podcast you did with Chelsea?
No,
did you
listen No, he was unconscious when we did it. But yeah, that's a natural. It's just what you do with that emotion, right? Like, as long as you don't act on it and you don't act in bad faith, like, that's gross. That you don't want to act like that. Yeah. But yes, of course, being jealous and being like envious of what other people are doing. I mean, that's the name of the game. It's hard to avoid that when you're in this industry and it's constantly being thrown in your face. I'm just taking a couple of Viagra, okay, for this.
It's like, it's just like popping pills. You know, I medicate is how I do it. Okay, real quick, I'm going to be messy. I will say who I get jealous of if you say the comedians
Chelsea, do not fall in. Bob is very controversial on this podcast. He's always doing shit like this.
I'm going to lead.
Okay. I get very jealous of Trixie Mattel and Bianca Del Rio, who are both good friends of mine, but they're just so fucking successful that
great.
I get jealous. I'm being open and honest about that.
I'll tell you who I'm jealous of or who I was most recently jealous of. Ali Wong, because Joe Coy is good friends with Ali Wong. And he told me that when her special, her most recent Netflix special came out, she didn't do any press for it. She didn't go on any talk shows. She didn't do any podcasts. She doesn't do podcasts. She doesn't do anything. And I was like, wait a second. How's that possible? Like, I was jealous of her ability to just say, I'm not doing any of that. I'm like, wait. Oh, I didn't even know that was an option.
Damn.
So
she's like, pass.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going to promote this, I guess, basically. I mean, I don't want to speak for her because I don't know if that's what she said, but she didn't promote it in any, you know, way, like visible way. She just put it out there. And I was like, oh, I'm jealous of that.
No, I heard it verbatim. She said, I'm not promoting this shit. I heard it verbatim. She sent me a voice note that said, I don't even care if this gets viewed. I heard LA Wong say that.
You know, last night I went to go see Jasmine Sullivan, who's an amazing
Grammy Award winner.
Two-time Grammy Award winning, her first time.
You guys, I'm a Grammy nominee, a recent Grammy loser, so it's a pretty sensitive topic. It's a pretty sensitive topic.
So no German accents.
Please don't bring up anything that starts with a G, actually. I would prefer it if you didn't bring it up.
Well, you know, so I was going to, I saw last night, and my friend and I, because I recently really got into drugs. I fucking love drugs.
Oh, I just took a mushroom. I just took a little mushroom capsule earlier this morning.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
So I heard about the capsules. So my friend, I've done mushrooms before. I went to Joshua Tree last year. And I did everything. If it was a drug, I did it. And I went to ancient Mesopotamia. It was the greatest time of my life. So at this concert, I was like, I want to do some mushrooms, but he chickened out. He didn't do them. And I did not do mushrooms last night. I didn't. Dewan.
Oh, well, yeah, Dewan does not strike me.
I want to do some shrooms.
Dewan, by the way, I mean, y'all don't know Dewan, the listeners at home, but I could not see Dewan
being very straight laced. But he wanted
to.
That'd
be like asking me to do mushrooms.
Mushrooms are great. Yeah, mushrooms are acid together. Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? Everything's becoming available in chocolate form, too. Like, I was in Whistler, and someone's like, oh, they gave me some LSD, mushroom LSD. I was like, what? Mushroom Ooh. LSD? I'm like, when did that become a thing? But now you can put chocolate, like, you could put any drug in chocolate, you know? So I like that way you can, like, just take a tiny bit to see how you like it. And then if you like
and
more,
chill.
Yeah, instead of a capsule, is more of a commitment than a little bite of chocolate to me.
Yeah, I recently had a portobello salad and I went fucking bananas at the strip mall in Ronkonkoma. this is something advice for me.
This
we're
is
here
advisory.
To give some advice. So let's get into the advice giving, honey. All right, we have some.
They're all audio submissions, right, Jacob?
Yes, all audio. Ooh, we love listening to our listeners.
Because, Chelsea, I mean, you give advice on your podcast. And on here, sometimes people give us written submissions, and they leave out so much context. So
I know about it. By the way, you guys, I don't want to throw this or rub this in your face, but I just got a Webby honoree for Best Advice Podcast. So I guess that means you,
oh my God.
You guys didn't, right? Because
we're actually very sensitive about it.
Oh, shit.
So you cannot mention the letter W anymore in this podcast.
So no we G's and no W's. Okay, so
no W's.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready now.
So let's go ahead and
admit you, Jacob.
Also, by the way, if you all want to submit a question or get some advice from us, you can be. We only take them from our patrons, so please join our patrons. You can go to siblingrivalrypodcast.com/ Support.
Support.
All right, let's do our first submission.
Hey, Bob and Monet. My name is Aisha, and my pronouns are she, her. And I am a 30-something-year-old single mother of a son. And I have devoted my life to making sure that our life is everything that I wanted it to be and what I thought it should be. So me and my son have our own house. You know, I purchased my car, have a really good job. And now I am realizing that my dating life or love life has suffered because I've always been so goal-oriented and driven to make a better life for us. And now it seems like dating is a tad bit harder because I am labeled not difficult, but I am intimidating because I have all these things, life experiences that a lot of the men in my area don't have. And I was wondering if you guys could give me any advice on how to bring in more dating traffic and maybe for me to be more relatable to men so that I can stop being called intimidating. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Signed, looking for Prince Charming.
Looking for Prince Charming.
Let our guests go first on this.
Absolutely. As a woman and as one who's super successful, Chelsea, please let her know what's popping.
Oh, he's yeah. Successful. Yeah.
Yes. Chelsea tried, is successful he, and successful.
He tried to, but he, I think, yes, I've heard that all the time. I heard that this morning from someone, you know, that you're intimidating. And it's like, well, I mean, what are you supposed to do when you're like that? Because I'm not trying to be intimidating. My natural disposition is just bitchy, you know, like it's not personal. That's just like my thing. So you have to kind of, I have to work extra hard to be friendly. And because I don't like to be insincere. So when I, you know, when I try to be sweeter or nicer, sometimes I feel like it comes off as insincere, but it goes a long way with other people. And it helps other people kind of relax around you a lot when you kind of disarm them. So I think you just have to work it overtime a little bit, just be really conscientious of being warm, you know what I mean? Because then you're exuding warmth. You know, you can't be really mindful of something and then not express it. Like whatever's at the top of your mind will be relayed. So I definitely have that problem. I could totally relate to it. And yeah, you just gotta like exercise real like warmth and just like, you know, kind of overcorrect.
Okay. I feel like, isn't it kind of worth it to just stick to your, like what you do? And then when someone actually does get through, the one that does make it through, the one that does date you, it's going to be, that connection I feel will be so much more genuine than you being like, hi. Because I have a mom who was also one of the people who's considered very intimidating. My mom had very few partners growing up. I mean, like 2 or 3. My mom also was one of the folks who was like, I think something may have traumatized my mom once because she would always give like this really weird, specific dating advice.
Like
when did she come home and she'd be like, if you ever go on a date, she'd be like, listen to me. If you ever go on a date, never let them drive. Always drive yourself. Because you don't know if they're going to leave you somewhere. You know if they're going to be mad and take off without you. So always drive yourself. So obviously, my mom probably got left somewhere. Somebody probably said, I ain't.
Yeah, that doesn't. You're exactly.
Very specific.
But well, no, because you can draw on the right people. I mean, yeah, you're right. It rules out all the wrong people. But sometimes you can miss the right person just by your personality. So if you're a little bit more inviting, then you know they're gonna get down to business and see who you are eventually anyway. But I think you cast a wider net when you act a little friendlier than intimidating.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know that those like all these old tropes of you attract the energy that you put out there. I know all of that stuff, but I think that I agree with Chelsea more. I think that you need to like give out what you're trying to receive. And if you keep on getting notes of you look too mean or you look too surly or that you're not coming through, you need to. Yeah, I'm talking about you. You need to really work on disarming that a little bit and just to, you know, give a little warm so that people can be like, all right, I like that. And then explore more once y'all, you know, start dating and start fucking. Because when you start fucking, that's when you really start discovering who people are.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was going to say something personal that I had no idea how dirty my boyfriend was until we started fucking. And then I was like, whoa. I was like, that's hot.
Look, I didn't know you were dirty, so I started taking them back shots.
Hello?
Koi. and so Monet is much friendlier than I am. Monet has more friends than I do. People really...
That's not true. You have a lot of friends.
I have a lot of friends, but like you just make friends like so fast. Because Monet is just nice.
I'm a Pisces. Friendly.
I'm a Pisces Monet, by the way.
Pisces,
One of the producers of RuPaul's Drag Race, who started producing like
at the very
end of my season. Like, so her and I barely, she's like an Emmy Award winner. She's like a really big deal in the Drag Race world. She came up.
We're at the Queerty Awards.
Now, to be fair to everyone, I was just kidding.
Okay, so this woman barely knows Bob, right? I've done two seasons of Drag Race, I did season 10 and also All Stars. So Bob and I, so I'm talking to her at the Queerty Awards, like having like we're talking about something not serious, but it was not like a whatever.
I didn't know what it was. I had just approached y'all.
Yeah, we're talking. Me and this person are talking. To Bob comes. Yeah, Bob. Yeah, Monet. Tell Mandy all that shit you was talking about her backstage. I was like, Mandy, no. She's like, yeah. He's like, no. Monet said, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Pop all that shit you talking about Mandy before. All that shit you were saying.
She's looking like, what is going on?
He was like, what the fuck? I was like, I thought she'd be aware of my personality, but she was like...
It was a very Chris Rock, Will Smith situation. I thought you were going to slap me.
Oh, my God.
That's what I felt.
Let's go to our next fucking question. Are you ready, baby?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, we have our next...
Next question.
Our next caller. Oh, yeah, also, before we got audio question, they'd be like, hi, I need help dating. But like, okay, where are you? Yeah. Are you in the city? What's going on?
Yeah. Hi, Bob, Monet, and Chelsea. This is Rachel from Baltimore. I just have to say, I'm a huge fan of all of you. This trio is iconic. My question was about something that Bob said on a advisory recently.
Oh, sorry.
Bob, you said that you don't like to intervene in people's relationships if maybe you don't like someone's partner. My question is, what do you do if they ask you? If they're like, hey girl, what do you think about Jimmy? Do you like him? Like, does that allow you to say something at that point? Let me know what you think. Love you guys.
Okay, so thank you. So let me just set the precedent. So what it is, I have a rule, a hard and fast rule, that if I don't like my friend's partners, I don't say anything. I just let the relationship run its course because I am afraid. Because when someone's blinded by love, when they are love struck or dickmatized or pussified, or whole magolds, or whatever it is, you know, they can't see things. So you'll say stuff like, I don't know if he's a good guy. And they're like, well, fuck you. We're in love. Don't ever talk to me again. And we're done. And I'm like, okay, this is a lot for me. So I just let people live their lives. So that's where I'm coming from. I'll let you leave the advice on this one.
Yeah, because I mean, and you know, I don't agree with that rule. Again, I'm not just gonna come up to any friend and be like, I don't like your boyfriend. But
you said it about Jacob as soon as we started dating.
Yeah, and then look how that worked out. Y'all still together, so I guess I was wrong on that one. But if you had a boyfriend that I did not like and there was something going on, I would tell you. I would not just let it fly and let it ride until, you know, it fucked you up. Like, I think not telling your friend that there's something wrong with their partner that they're doing that you don't like, I don't think that's good.
I don't need to like them. They like the partner. Yeah. I don't need to like your partner.
I mean, there's two sides. Well, I think like, A, I always am going to tell people. Not unsolicited anymore, but like, you know, when it's a really close friend, like, or your sister, like my sister's, I dated this guy for a while. And when I broke up with him, my family was like, oh God, you know, none of us could stand him. And I was like, well, why didn't you say anything? And they're like, oh, like, we're going to say anything to you. Like, you're going to listen to us. I'm like, if both of my sisters came to me and sat down and said, hey, your boyfriend's creeping us out. We don't like him and we don't trust him. Like, I'm sorry, I would have listened, especially if they had come to me together. I would have been like, oh, fuck. Well, that's a big red flag.
How long were you dating?
We were dating on and off for a couple of years. It was a pretty volatile relationship. And I knew deep down nobody liked him, but no one said anything to me. And it would have fallen on deaf ears had it been like a friend. But like if it was a, you know, like any friend, but if it was someone close to me and said like, listen, this is a really unhealthy dynamic, especially if two people came to me at the same time, it would have influenced me. So I'm of the mindset, like I will never lie if somebody asks me to tell them the truth. I'll be like, always, you know, you have to be truthful, I think, to your friends. But saying it unsolicited isn't really welcome. You know, nobody really wants to hear it. And if they do want to hear it, they're going to ask you. And then once they do.
So let's flip the script.
Yeah.
Let's flip the script. Let's say your partner, you get a new friend, and your partner's like, I don't like this bitch. Something's off about this bitch. She is weird. She's got weird vibes. And you're like, oh my God, I love her. I'm having so much fun. And he's like, she is weird. I'm telling you, this bitch is fucking weird and I don't like her and she's got problems. What are you doing in that story?
Yeah, I would, with my partner now, if he doesn't, if that's happened, and if he doesn't like someone, they're out.
Work, Chelsea, Chelsea.
Chelsea, ride or die,
But when you have like a good boyfriend or like a long-term partner, you guys become really good friends. That person becomes a confidant. That person becomes someone that you can trust and confide in. So if they're sensing something, there's probably, you know, there's some validity to it. Just like if you told me something, I would be like, I would take it into consideration. But Chelsea's like, nah, if he said they out, they're out. I'm just cutting people off.
With your, you know, like who needs any new friends anyway, unless you're both on board with it.
Oh my God.
Right?
Agreed. I am 32 years old. I have like 6 or 7 best friends that I know I can count on. I don't need new fucking friends. I don't need to go out there and make a whole bunch of friends. I have my crew.
I've told you about queens I don't like. I'm like, no, I don't like that bitch. I don't say stop hanging out with her, but I'm like, I do not fuck with her.
Yeah.
And then some of them turn around and did me dirty.
I know.
Anyway, we're not saying, Lord, don't get me sweating over here. But if if someone is asking me specifically, I will give them my input. I will say that. If someone's like, just, no, please, I want to know. Please tell me. Then yes, I will tell. I will try to make it. I won't say words like, I hate him. I'll say stuff like, well, you know, that person's not my favorite. Or I'll say, I don't think we vibe. Or I'll say, I'm shocked.
You don't think you what?
I don't think, oh my God, we vibe. Kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. I'll say, I don't think that we, you know, that we mesh. Or I'll say, I'm shocked that you two are together.
Yeah.
Because you don't seem, I'm shocked that you feel compatible.
Or they have a smelly pussy. Like something simple.
Yeah.
You know, just to shut it. Really something simple just to shut the conversation down. Because there's really no argument for that, for a smelly pussy.
But like I'm pretty sure everyone told me that he has cheese dick. Everyone. It's a big rumor around WeHo that he has cheese dick.
You always want a little cheese with your dick.
Are you into cheese dick at all?
No, I'm not into it. I've definitely been confronted with cheese dick. And it is the most vile thing.
Some people are really into it.
I don't think I've ever seen anything. I don't think I've ever been confronted with cheese dick. You have to explain exactly what that is.
So okay, cheese dick is people who are uncut.
Oh yeah,
so
sorry.
If you have foreskin, and if you have, so yeah, apparently, are you cut?
I don't know.
You don't know if you're cut.
I'm right in the middle. I'm on the intersection of
what
cut is that? And uncut.
What happened? Did you go? And
I think that the doctor was a little drunk and he didn't do it.
Was
the
loyal doctor?
Like, I'm good.
I was your doctor.
I'm true. The chocolate kicked in halfway through the breath.
So it's guys with people with foreskin, and then when you don't necessarily clean your penis properly,
it happens to a lot of people. So like, it's just like if you had a day and you were kind of sweaty, it all kind of coagulates.
Okay.
It's called smegma.
Okay.
That's like the word for it.
Is it smegma?
Yes, that is smegma. Oh. And then so it accumulates there, and like it can be, they call it dick cheese. Like that's like the urban dictionary name.
It's a little cheesy.
Yeah,
have you tasted it? Like a smelly cheese.
I'm really glad I don't know about that, you know? I mean, and I've had sex with a lot of guys, so for me not to, but I've also been pretty wasted a lot, so maybe I knew it, like maybe it was present and I just didn't know. So
just like I said, there's a lot of guys, but enough about last weekend.
enough about March, you guys. Okay, we're in a new month.
You know, I don't particularly, but there are guys who are are people who are like Emmy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I do like smelly armpits though, like natural
smelly
sense.
Or yeah, okay, natural.
Like a natural. If it's like a little smell, I'm into that. Are you into that at all?
Yeah, little bit of a stink, like a scent from a specific. It has to be specific to them. Totally.
I agree. I am not particularly into like I just got in the shower and I like use all of the Axe body spray. I want you to smell like you know like natural. Like you
I know, I'm not into door. Lifting up an armpit and just smelling like Degree. Or like Arm and Hammer.
Yeah,
like
that's offensive.
That does not smell hot to me.
I like
but
this,
if we're like,
I like
working together.
I like the way skin smells. You know when you can smell someone's skin, you know, just their scent, like even their
you
cheek.
Sound like a serial killer.
Yeah.
That sounds like I like the way
with
skin
some fava
smells.
Beans and a nice Chianti. Yeah.
You know how skin smells.
No, but I know what you mean. It's like that natural smell of skin.
Yeah,
like,
this natural scent that you emit from your pores. Because some people have a funk. And, you know, that comes from, like, within, like, your gut, right? Like, even your breath. Sometimes when people's breath smells, like, you can smell it's from their stomach. Like, I don't want to smell your breath ever. Like, I don't ever want to smell anything coming out of your mouth. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I want to smell what's coming out of your skin.
your skin work.
Write that down, Bob.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, stank, stunk, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring. It was gray. It was looking crazy. And I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever. So it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century. And that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code rivalry to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Shall we do the next question?
That's my new favorite quote. I love the way skin smells. Just imagine Chelsea behind.
Call that. That's what the name of this episode should be, okay?
Hi, Monet, Bob, and Chelsea. I am a cis gay man, and I live in Melbourne, Australia, originally from New Zealand. Love you guys, listen to you guys all the time. My question is, I am 29, approaching 30, which is still very young, and I am very aware that that's very young. But a lot of people around me, friends and family members, are getting older. And I feel like I'm also getting, you know, time goes quickly. 10 years has gone by, 20 years has gone by. My question is, how do you deal with getting older and aging? For me, it's on my mind recently of how everyone you loves just dies. And I'm going to die one day, and that's fine. I'm not really scared of it, but it's really just starting to hit me now, and I want to do as much as I can in the time I have. So how do you guys deal with it? How do you not dwell on it?
Did his mushroom chocolate just kick in? Yeah.
So, that was like platitude. It was one platitude after another. He's like, first I'm going to be 29, then I'm going to be 30. And it's just hit me that after that I'm going to be 31, and then I'm going to die.
He's like, yeah. I don't know about you guys, but everyone around me is getting older. Yeah, me too, bitch. That's everyone on the planet. I don't know about you guys. Bizarre. My life is different. I don't know how it is in America, but I live in Australia, mate. Where everyone gets absolutely older.
We're all getting fucking older. I mean, I will say, no, there is a thing. When you're in your 20s, you feel like you're going to be young forever. And like when you were
that is so true. You're 20s, so you're
like, I'm
going to
be young forever. Like, I'm going to live forever. And when you are approaching 30 or you get to your 30s, you're like, you know what? That when I turned 30, I was like, great, I'm 30. I can't wait to be 35. I can't wait to be 40. And just, bitch, take care of yourself. Do a little drugs and have the best time of your life.
Okay, everyone. Okay, that's
a great prescription.
Drugs are great.
I'm not saying drugs are bad, but that's just that is odd advice to be like, if you feel like drugs are for you, do drugs. It's not just like everyone go do drugs. Everyone go do drugs. Go do your druggy drugs. Some of us can't do drugs.
Well, if you can,
because then I won't make it to 30 to 35.
Good point, Bob. Good save, Bob.
Some of us had to tap out.
Otherwise, you were about to get
I'm
sued.
I'm sober. So Monet talks about all the time. I'm sober. Okay. So I can't. I've had my opportunity with drugs and alcohol. So I guess I did do drugs too.
You did it. And you found it wasn't real.
You know?
Yeah.
Take one of his advice, dude.
Yeah.
We're back to you, Chelsea. You'll take this one first.
Well, aging. How do you deal with aging? I mean, well, first of all, you fight it every step of the way. And then, but no, I think you just, I mean, listen, we all come to a realization at some point, you know, it's like usually when you're about to go into a new decade where you're like, oh, fuck, wait. You know, the other morning I woke up, I was like, okay, 38. I'm like, that's a good age. Like 38, solid. I'm not 40 yet. And then I'm like, wait, bitch, you're 47. What are you talking about? 38. I'm like, where'd you get that number from? And then I was like, oh,
the
fuck.
Mushrooms.
I'm 40. I know. I was like, did I take another mushroom while I was sleeping? But 47, I was like, oh, fuck. I'm almost, you know, I'm going to be 50 in 3 years. But I mean, aging does get better. Like you get better with age. Everyone does get better with age. As long as you have the right attitude and being in a place of fear about aging is just not... Like, it doesn't work. You can't be fearful about aging. It's the inevitable, you know? It's like you're going to go to the bathroom again. That's also inevitable. So, like, you can't be fearful of what's going to happen. You have to kind of just embrace it and be like, okay, if you're really present about it, you're like, this is the last time I'm ever going to be 29 and I want to make it count. Yeah. And you just kind of say that to yourself each day. Some days it's harder to remember that than others, but it's a good mantra to remind yourself, like, you only get this day once, right? And that helps you be more present. And helps you really, like, you know, enjoy your life and not worry about aging, because that's pointless anyway. So you just want to try and get that out of your head with drugs, as Monet said.
I would say I am much better on every level in my 30s than I was in my 20s. I would remember in my 20s being like, this is it. Like, I'll never be, but I am better at basically everything that I've ever done now that I am in my mid 30s. And I do think that I've had moments where I've had like existential laying in bed being like, I cannot believe I'm gonna die. I can't believe that I'm gonna, I've had moments where I was in bed and I was like, I can't sleep. I know that I'm not I'm gonna die in this moment, but like one day I will just stop existing and there's literally nothing I can do about it. But then after like the seventh time having that, I think it's actually kind of more easing. Like I'm not religious. If I don't understand people who are truly religious who are afraid to die. Because I'm like, but you're going to heaven. Like if you're a Christian and you really believe in heaven, you should be like, oh, this the way they describe heaven in the Bible, I'd be like, bitch, I can't wait. This shit's about to be
lit. But half of them who are Christians, they know that they're doing so much shit on this planet that they will never get into heaven. So that's why. Because they're afraid because they know that they're not going
to
get there.
But then the idea of actually making it to heaven and like existing forever is the most exhausting.
Doesn't sound great.
Just like you never stop it. You're just always existing. Sometimes I'm just like, I'm not saying that I'm like, I want to be done existing right now, but like the idea, let's say that the scientists are all right and the earth, the sun's going to explode and then all the planets are going to get sucked into it. And then there's going to be like a big empty void and we have to reset and it'll take another 5 million years before the next planets even form. What the fuck are we going to be doing in heaven? I'm not just looking down at being like, oh, there goes an empty void. That sounds horrendous.
Yeah, it doesn't sound, when people say, oh, like in a couple years, you'll be able to live to your 120. It's like, no fucking thanks. Like, I mean, let's wrap it up. You know what I mean? Like a good 70-year run is plenty for me. I'm not trying to be 100. And I don't want to be here exactly for the same reason, Bob. Thank you for bringing that up. I don't want to be here for floods and fires. It's already starting.
Honestly.
And I want to bounce. Yeah. You know, so yeah,
exactly.
And honestly, I'll be done by around 80. Like when I start like shitting myself and I can't take care of myself, I want to be done. If I get that old, can you please just smother me? Don't tell anyone.
You
just
say that now.
I'll do it next week.
Yeah, you say that now. First of all, you've been shitting yourself for a long time. This isn't going to just start happening when you're 70. I mean, that's not even a realistic goal you're setting for yourself. But you say that now.
You have one bad weekend. I'm like, all right, you said it.
Take me out, girl.
You told me.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. Yeah. I'm like, I always think, I'm like, would I be upset if I died? I'm like, no, not really. Like, I would just like to go down, you know, in the middle of the night. Like, I would like to pass away quietly in my sleep. Obviously, that's everyone.
Yeah, I want to go out like like Insecure or Breaking Bad. Like five seasons and you're done. I don't want to be like Next Top Model. I don't want to be on cycle 67. Yeah. You know?
Right.
But I've recently been sucked into time. Have you been on Time Talk where like these people like break down time and how obviously time is a construct. Blah, 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 blah.
But do you like TikTok, Chelsea?
I mean, you know, yeah, I like it. I'm on it. I look at it occasionally. I'm not on it a lot. Yeah. I just feel like
Time Talk. And
I feel like the Chinese are trying to brainwash us with TikTok. Like I've read too many articles about like subliminal messages on TikTok. So I'm already brainwashed in so many other departments. I don't need another brainwashing. Do you know what I mean? So I try.
Honestly, I want to drive over to your Beverly Hills right now. And you and me make like a dancing TikTok.
Oh my God. You like, guys should see me.
Do, like,
you
guys renegade.
Oh my God. I would love
you
it.
You should see me try to dance, you guys. It's so pathetic. I have no rhythm at all. And I try to catch the rhythm. I'm like, the rhythm is not going to get me. So I've been dancing more, but yeah, I need drugs to dance. It helps.
Comment below if you want me to drive over to Chelsea's house and make a renegade TikTok.
I would love to see Chelsea do a renegade. We're going to get Chelsea renegading. Chelsea is going to shoot. Chelsea, do you know how to shoot?
I could learn. Yeah, I could do that. Just jerk off in each direction. Is that what that is? Oh, yeah, I could do that. Is that what I'm always looking at? Yeah, that's what I'm always seeing.
Hey. All right, let's do our next question, Jennifer. This is some good advice we're getting.
This is great advice.
I mean, I think I'm doing most of the advice giving, you guys. You're not really. Neither of you have been helpful since this episode began.
Chelsea, yes, I said Monet's name first on purpose.
Thank you.
My question would be, how do you navigate being in short-term relationships with people? So I know as entertainers, you're probably meeting people that you aren't necessarily going to know for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering just how do you go about those kinds of relationships? Because obviously you don't want to be short with someone if they're working for or with you. So I was just wondering basically how you navigate that kind of dynamic with another person.
Something mean.
Yeah, that's it.
It's something mean like.
Bye, thanks.
Like. Like something mean like professional and maybe friendship.
Like if you're at like a venue and you meet, you know, the person, the runner of the venue that day, like how do you manage those relationships?
Do you want to take it first?
I went first last time.
Did you? Okay. I will say this. People are often, once they actually get past the face, the me not smiling a lot, people are like, oh wow, I'm shocked to realize that you're really nice. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not a monster. I just don't like what's what I'm looking for?
Frivolities.
Niceties.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't like being like, you know, hi.
That's how I am. I'm just not, exactly.
And once they meet, they're like, wow, you're really, really fucking cool. And I just try to be friendly and try to get the same response that I want back. I will say that I try not to get too, like, you know, you ever met someone who wants to trauma dump on you as soon as they meet you? And I'm like, I don't want to be that open. You know what I mean? I would like for you to earn my trauma dump. Earn my trauma load before we just like I meet you one night and you're like in third grade everyone said my head looked like a planet and they called me planet head and now I can't look at globes. I'm like I don't need by the way, I'm sorry if anyone out there has planet trauma and you're called planet head or something. I'm trying to trigger planet head watching right now. But I try to keep it not professional. I mean, maybe like for example, here's a great example. This guy named Nick, who works at the Improv in Dania Beach, Florida. So Nick came into the room. He was the cocktail waiter, and he was just like one of those. But you've probably seen this, Chelsea. Like just and when someone meets you, like especially the comic club, they're just enamored. They're like, oh my God, I cannot believe it.
Someone is enamored by you.
But even me.
Wow.
Even me. I just can't believe I'm here. This is so exciting. And I was, of course, being really friendly with Nick. I did follow him on Instagram or let him follow me on Instagram. I don't give my number.
Is he hot?
Nick is very pretty. Nick is very, very pretty.
Would you fuck Nick?
If under the right circumstances, sure.
Right circumstances.
Under the if the moon is in the right place, you know.
In the seventh house.
Then yes. But also, I did give Nick some advice. Here's some advice I gave to a person who was saying about aging. I forgot to say this. And this stuff that's on TV, and it's true. I really believe that everyone take a lot of pictures of your body in your 20s. Take a lot. I mean, photograph your body from every angle in all the clothes and underwear, all this stuff, because in later in life, you will be so happy that you documented your body throughout time. You don't have to share it. You don't have to post it. You can put it in a Google Drive, lock it in a safe. But I think you should definitely be taking pictures of your body.
Yeah, get all the news then.
And when just, you are younger.
Yeah. And you have them for the rest of your life.
But I try to be friendly. I don't trauma dump on them. I am very comfortable setting boundaries with people I just met. Very comfortable. Between me and when I got into an argument in St. Louis, Missouri one time. No, I was in Kansas City, Missouri. I am at Mo Heart. This guy came up and he was like, hey, let me carry your bags to your car for you. And I said, oh, no, thank you. I'll carry my own bag. He goes, no, come on. And he's like, so we are both tug of warring with my luggage. And he's like, no, come on, let me. And we're in the dressing room. And then I looked him in the eye and I said, I really feel like I'm not being unclear. Please stop touching my luggage, please. And then everyone in the room was like, and I was like, I don't want this guy touching my fucking bags. So maybe I'm not the best person to get this advice from. Monet, what do you say?
Well, no, Chelsea, you can go.
I like the question. I love the question because it really gives you an idea of where this person's head's at, you know? Because he's clearly like, does it, yeah. Like those short interactions, like some people are really annoyed by that. You know, the niceties and the kind of like the bullshit like in between when you're not really friends with someone or have a relationship. But I would just say like to be open-minded because you never know when you're going to meet somebody that you will have a relationship develop with. Even if it seems like it's an ephemeral person, then you're just like working with them for a night or a week. Like you never know. Like you could meet somebody that would be a long-standing friendship if you're open-minded. But yeah, you always be polite and just be respectful. But yeah, I'm like you, Bob. Like, I'm just like, you know, I'm short and to the point. And then if I find something interesting, I'm like, oh, then I'm curious about the person. But I like to be like pretty like succinct.
Yeah, I am a pretty friendly person. I'll always like, hey, what's your name? And then we'll exchange names. And then they'll be like a short, like 2 second. Two questions will go back.
Let's do an example. Oh my God, Monet Exchange. Hi, I'm going to be your cocktail waiter tonight. I love you so much.
Oh my God,
I
love you too. What's your name?
My name is Carl.
Carl.
Yeah. I'm from Atlanta. My mom is obsessed with you. My brother loves you so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm very obsessible.
And oh my God, you're so funny in person. what are you doing after the show?
I'm probably heading to the next city.
Oh, like where? I'm off tomorrow.
Okay, they don't do all this. They don't do all this.
Where's the next city? I'm off tomorrow. What flight are you on?
We're going to Salzburg, Germany.
And what flight are you on?
You guys are supposed to bring up Germany. What the fuck? What the fuck? Miracle here.
I had my Grammy headed to Germany.
At the wheel turn. I'll do that and then when it starts getting crazy, that's when my assistant Patty will step in and be like, hey Monet, can we do something here for a second? I'm like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. And then Patty will save me, and then Patty's always there to save me.
Yeah, you should always have somebody there to save you in that respect. But I don't know if that guy's a celebrity. He didn't sound like a celebrity. He just sounded like somebody who's generally annoyed with other people.
we fully find out that was like a letter from like Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle's like a listener of the podcast. We should do a celebrity rendition. We should have all celebrities submit
questions. We could do that. We can team a bunch of people.
Right? Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Chelsea, so one day we'll reach out to you to have you just submit some terrible advice from me and Monet.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to our next one.
Hey, Bob and Monet and Chelsea Handler. I really love you guys, so thanks for taking the time to listen to me. My name is Derek, he, him, his. I'm 28 and live in Washington, D.C. My question for you guys is, why can't I find a boyfriend / partner? I think I'm pretty successful. I have a good career. I work out consistently. I have a cute dog. I think I have a nice smile and I'm a pretty nice guy. But I'm just wondering if I set standards that are too high for any guy to really achieve. If a guy isn't between 5'8" and 6'2", to have a pretty good job, a nice smile, a full head of hair. I probably.
I know you're supposed to go first, but I have to jump in.
Potential relationship.
Baby, well,
my question is,
it's your turn. It's your turn. You go. It's your
turn. I think it's my fucking turn. I think that you. I don't think your standards can ever be too high. I really don't. I think you should, as long as you set your standards at a level, somebody will come and meet them. I don't think you should say, I think I have a nice smile. I think I have a good job. You should know that about yourself and be a little bit more confident and exude the knowingness to attract somebody who's also going to recognize it. But I don't think there's anything. My friends tried to set me up. My manager, Allison, tried to set me up with this guy in his mid 40s. This was like a couple years ago in New York City. And I went on a date with him and I was like, that he's a dad. Like, he's not a dad, but he may as well be a dad. You know, he had a dad bod. He had a dad attitude. Like, I walked in the street in New York and he like grabbed me and pulled me on the sidewalk. And I didn't find that sexy. I found that dad-like, you know, like that dad energy.
Boring. The dad arm.
Yeah. And like boring. And I came home and I said to her, I go, hey, fuck you if you think that I'm going to fucking date somebody that's like basically a middle-aged dad. And she's like, Chelsea, you are middle-aged. That's what's out there. I go, no. I go, that's not what's out there. That is what's out there, but that's not what I'm going to settle for. Like, I'm going to find somebody who's cool and my age. And I'll find them, so don't bother me again with the setup because you're way off. And so I think you have to maintain those standards for yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, I will say his seem very rigid. And he's like, I don't think I have like high standards. Like, you can't be below 5'8", you can't be above 6'2", you have to have black hair. He seems like his are very, very, very rigid. But again, if these are deal breakers for you, if finding someone outside of those height ranges you can't see yourself with that person, then why waste the time and date people who are outside of your preferences? Because then you won't. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that you should, if you are struggling this hard to find boyfriends or date people, then perhaps what you're looking for is just too crazy. So maybe try to break that a little bit. But if you know that you dating someone is too short that you can't, like, you know, it will be like a mind block for you, then why do that to yourself?
I think I'm coming at this from a very different perspective than you all. First of all, I have never met anyone who was a nice guy who describe themselves as a nice guy. That is a someone saying, I'm a very nice guy is a fucking red flag. I'm a nice guy. That is something, when people say that to me, I'm like, this is a red flag and I don't trust something about you. If you have to assert that you are very nice, something tells me that you're not that nice. Also, I think that the reason why you're saying you're so great, they just kind of seem like shallow reasons. You're like, I have a nice job. Yeah. I make a lot of money. I have a full head of hair.
I think it's on paper.
I have a great smile and I'm a nice guy. Like, there is a small chance that you might not be that desirable, and it might not be because of your physical attributes or the car you drive. There are people in this world who are hot as the day is long, loaded, and are single because they are fucking insufferable. I mean, if there's a world where people get broken up with who are super, super high, it's like there's something going on. And I think that this person is being really rude. They already have in mind what they want, and they're not being open to anything. They're like, they in their mind, they have their future husband picked out. They know what he looks like, what he's mm-hmm. wearing. They know what they probably have a fucking name for him.
That's oftentimes with gay men, though. I feel like that happens a lot with gay guys, especially when you live in a place like we or whatever. You see the same people, like, you see it's always a tall, really in shape, muscly, a white dude dating the same thing. It's like twin fuckers. I call them twin fuckers, and I see it all the time.
Twin cess.
I think it happens all the time, but I mean, I think obviously it's not only a gay thing. I'm sure it happens with straight people, so Chelsea can tell us. But I do see that.
Yeah, Chelsea and Joe Core basically.
But you know, another thing is, like, I once wrote one of those lists that people write, you know, when they want to like meet their person, because my friend did it and it worked. And I wrote this whole list, and I wrote something like, I said, please bring me a man, this, and this. Like, it was 50 things. And then I said, somebody with a full head of hair. And then and when I reread the list, I looked at it and everything I had on it was like met, except for the one shallow thing that I had written, which was, please give me a full head of hair, because now I'm with Mr. Clean, right? And now,
girl, we're all Mr. Clean.
And yeah, and so like that, there is something to be said for that. Yeah, Bob, this is actually the best advice I've heard you give since this podcast started. I think you're right on the money, because like I wouldn't like introduce myself like, hey, I'm Chelsea, I'm a huge bitch, like nice to meet you, you know what I mean? So you don't like saying you're a really nice guy is suspect. Now that you mention it, I was like, that's true, because it's weird. But
I don't think so. I've met people who are really nice guys. I've met nice guys.
But no, do they say I'm a really nice guy?
You don't introduce yourself like it. It's like people who say, oh, I'm a really good friend. It's like, no, you're not. You don't ever have to advertise that.
Yeah, that is true.
Like if you're a good friend, we'll find out about it. You don't have to, you know, you don't represent yourself that way. So I take it back what I said. And now I think that you need to make a new list. And you need to be less shallow and focus on more important things than money and appearance.
But did you ever think you'd date a comedian? Did you ever think you'd be dating a comedian?
No, never, ever. I thought they were all so disgusting.
I mean, because, I mean, honestly, you're not, because when you go to comedy clubs, comedians are like sad and like
dark.
They're just in the bar and they're like, imagine this vision of someone who's like at the bar, like complaining about every aspect of their life. They're drinking. They just look lonely. The only time they're ever alive is on stage. And the moment they get off stage, they're just like,
wow. Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly.
But also, most of the things you hear about male comedians are fucking scary, like Louis C.K. and shit. You're like, you know, shit is wild out there for
that's every. Comedians. That's not just comedians. I think that's every. I mean, directors, cops, teachers.
Have you seen the fucking? Have you seen T.I. getting booed at the King's Theater?
Was he doing comedy?
Yeah, he's trying
T.I.
to.
T.I. the rapper.
He's trying to do stand up now.
T.I.P. come alive from the.
And he got booed.
Yeah,
and he got booed.
Yeah. Yeah, because he got booked at the King's Theater to, and all these people came to the theater expecting T.I.
in Brooklyn. They were expecting like music. Joe performed there. That's an awesome theater. That place is beautiful. Yeah. Oh, so they were pissed.
My rival, Trixie Mattel, just performed a sold out show there.
Shit.
So proud of her.
Oh, shit.
So happy
Here
for her.
Here we go with the jealousy.
No trains, no Germany, no Grammys, no W's, and no Trixies, and no tricks. No King's Theater.
Yeah, but he was doing stand up, and they were like, this is not what we signed up for. And they're like, we want music. Boo.
Have you ever been booed off stage or booed in general?
Oh, I'm sure, but I have never been booed off stage. I'm sure I've been booed at some point. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I can't remember, but there's Republicans everywhere.
Yeah. I got booed once. I'm afraid to say why I got booed.
Where?
I think I deserved it. I'm going to say out loud right now. I do not stand by what I said to get booed. I deserved to get booed, and they were right. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. Okay. I was at Barracuda, and I had exclaimed.
Barracuda Bar is a bar in Chelsea. Oh,
it's inside me.
Yeah, I see you right now. Right around the liver, so it's not in good shape. Got to be honest.
What are you talking about? I took my liver cleanse. I don't know what your problem is. Shut the fuck up, Bob. Fucking Bob.
So I had exclaimed that I was not a big fan. Mm-hmm. Of Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah, people don't like that.
The whole room. I mean, they turned on me, and I could not.
You're still doing your Monday night show?
Yes.
Really?
And it took a very long time to get them back, because I've come out of public, and I've come out against a few people who's like music. I don't like performing. Like I don't love performing. Kylie Minogue. I just don't love doing her music. And then someone said Janet Jackson, and I was like, ugh, and I said something snarky about Janet Jackson, and they were all like, boo,
Janet Jackson.
Boo, you suck. And I was like, okay, honestly, fair. Yeah. And I look back, and she's brilliant. Janet Jackson has a great body of work.
She does.
Yeah.
Jacob, shall we do the next one?
We can probably have time for two more, babe.
Right, we have
time. We have time for two. Thank you so much for your time today, Chelsea.
Oh, you guys, I wouldn't have rather, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hi, Bob Monet and Chelsea. My name is Marlena, she, her pronouns. I am a trans woman in Berlin, Germany, and I have a question for y'all. So I've been transitioning for a few months now, and as someone who didn't really understand how much I identified with femininity until recently, I've been finding it very interesting navigating what that means to me. And of course, we live in a society that expects us to understand femininity in so many different ways. And it's definitely easy to internalize things, but I don't really know how to disentangle, like, how I feel and how I was told to feel about it. And so I'm really curious as to Bob Monet's perspectives as non-binary people, and also Chelsea's as a woman. So do y'all have any advice on how to explore femininity and figure out what it means for yourself? yeah, for any advice, I'd be really grateful. I think you're all amazing. Thank you so much.
Great question.
We'll let the most feminine person go first.
Okay, Monet, your turn.
A big way that I came to discover my femininity and what that was to me was through drag. You know, before then, you know, growing up, I was always a very, very faggy, very gay kid. I was very, very gay. I had a big ass all my life. I walked to the switch. Everyone knew I was gay all the time. And, you know, and I all throughout my, through middle school and high school, I was suppressing that. And then when high school happened, I discovered drag. RuPaul Drag Race was on TV. And also Peppermint used to come to my college to do drag shows. And I was like, oh my God. Look at this drag queen. Like, this is really fierce. And then I started to dive into it. I started buying wigs. I started playing with makeup. And I realized that, like, this femininity that I was hiding for so much of my life was something that gave me so much power as a fucking adult. It made me walk down the street prouder. And I had my perceptions of what I thought I needed to do because, you know, growing up in New York, I used to go to balls and kinky functions and I would see trans women. And I thought that that's what I had to be. I was like, well, if I start doing makeup and start wearing wigs and start doing drag, well, I have to become trans. And that's not what femininity meant for me. It meant giving myself the freedom and the liberty to wear dresses, to wear makeup and not having to fit what my femininity I didn't have to become a trans woman. I discovered what it was for me and what made me feel good, what made me feel comfortable. And that was sometimes maybe having sex with makeup on or wearing a wig, whatever that was, and just explore my femininity and how it felt organic. I had an organic experience with my femininity and not having to fit it into something I saw on TV or a friend or another entertainer or something like that.
How about you, Chelsea?
I think, well, it's a tricky question for me because it's like I am, you know, I've never wrestled with my, like, you know, the sex I identify with. Like, I've always just been me. And to me, that's what a girl is. I feel like I'm a little slightly more masculine, but I like what she said about disentangling what you've learned to what your experience is, because your experience is really all that matters versus what you've, like, the constructs that we've been taught about femininity mm-hmm. and masculinity, and that there's an entire spectrum of the way that people identify, you know, like the more we learn, the more you realize, oh, I'm not really this one thing at all. So I would say to her that your experience is paramount to anything you've learned. And you can almost toss everything you've learned about femininity out the window, because your experience is really the only thing that's relevant to you in this time that you're going through, especially like this period of transition. So yeah, I think that's like, get down with yourself, you know, and you define what your sexuality means and what feminism means to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I have a very similar experience to Monet. I was one of the folks who grew up and I just kept getting called girly, or I was called gay. It's really annoying for a young person to be called gay before they even know what it is. Mm-hmm. Or when you're like a little kid and someone goes, stop acting like a girl. And I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't think I'm acting like a girl. I really feel like I'm just doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. But I just happen to have always had some very feminine qualities and feminine traits about the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I hold my hands, the way I talk to people. Even if it comes to expressing femininity at a young age by wearing my mom's clothes or putting on a t-shirt over my head and acting like it's a wig and just whipping it around, or, you know, my favorite, I prefer the Disney princesses over, you know, the Lion King or whatever as a small child. Loving Ariel. My favorite color used to be pink, which is so weird. That is so not me today. But I've learned, someone said something to me, a drag performer whose name is Dakota, but the drag name is Azrea. Dakota, they taught me that femininity does not belong to women and masculinity does not belong to men. Yeah. Everyone has both femininity and masculinity. We literally all have it. Some of us have more of one than the other. Some of us have equal parts. Some people you look at and you genuinely can't tell what their gender identity is based on their gender expression. It's just so ambiguous. Some people are straight up cisgendered, straight women who are as straight as it is long, but just are super butch. So, you know how people think that Whoopi Goldberg is a lesbian?
I know.
Because of the way she just has like a butch energy.
Well, you know, Whoopi on The View, she doesn't really.
But I think there's something really fierce about people like Grace Jones, people like Prince, people like, you know, draw a lot of drag performers, the comedian Eddie Izzard, people who are
Tig
Notaro, people who are like really towing the line with what gender expression and what femininity is. Because the answer is femininity is literally just whatever it means to you. That's genuinely the answer. It is whatever it means to you. You can't say that the way that Lisa Leslie, the basketball player, is feminine is not the same as, like, you know, I mean, not the same, but like it's less valuable than the way Kim Kardashian is feminine. It really is. And I know that's an open-ended, like, woo-woo, we're all la-la-la answer, but it really is the truth. It's just whatever it means to you. Femininity and masculinity do not belong to any categories, even though they are mostly in certain categories of people.
And also, if you find yourself having a feminine experience and you decide, you know what, I want to try something, like don't let your own mental gymnastics trick you into falling in line with some type of femininity that really is not true to you. Like, let it be organic. Let it be what the fuck is going
to
be.
Can I tell you something that happened to me this weekend? I want both of you to tell me how you would react to this.
You should have took mushrooms.
I was on stage at the West Palm Beach Improv, and I was telling one of my jokes, and I said "cis" straight, and then this guy in the audience yelled out, like, you know, you hear someone heckling, and part of you is like, I can just ignore it if it's one thing, because I don't want to stop the flow of my joke. Because if you're in the middle of a joke, you don't want to stop the joke so that someone to give a moment to someone. So I'm like, I don't want to give that person a moment. But they kept asking, what does cis mean? What does that mean? And it was so weird. I was like, you're at a Bob the Drag Queen show. Like, everyone here is queer. And I was like, does no one at your table, no one, you think the most appropriate thing to do right now is to ask the person holding the microphone in front of everyone? They're probably also a little drunk. They probably have the laughing juice or whatever. You know, the comedy clubs always give really horrible names to their drinks. Uh-huh. This one's called laughing gas. Or something.
So do sober people, by the way. He's like, he's having one of those laughing drinks. What do you mean, a cocktail?
Sometimes they give them weird names. One club I was at, they changed the menu based on the comedian who's there, right? So like, if Chelsea's there, they'll call it like, get a handler on yourself, or they'll be like, late night special or whatever. Yeah. Bitch, one of the ones I went to, the drink was called Gender Fluid.
Oh, whoopsie. My
God, that's brilliant. I fucking love that.
That's gender funny. That's
Can great. I get the Gender Fluid? I was like, that. You know what? Honestly, touche.
I love that.
All right, we have time for una más. This has been so much fun. Thank you,
Chelsea.
We don't often have guests on our podcast.
Oh, really?
Chelsea, every time we have a guest, it is rambunctious. Bob and I normally end up fisticuffs, blood, just fighting. And the guest, though, is like, so this has been great.
You have been very assertive.
I feel like I brought you guys closer together. If you guys could get any closer. Chelsea. Oh, look how sweet that is.
One person.
Let me take a picture. Do that again, you guys. Oh, look at this. Love is in the air.
Here we go.
Hi, Bob, Monet, and Chelsea. I am going to do this anonymously because I think it could ruin my chances, but I just need some advice. I have been doing drag for 6 years, and I have been auditioning for Drag Race for 6 years, and I have obviously not gone on, and I just want some advice on what you think I can do from an audition standpoint, or what you think I can show that would help better my chances. I think every year I have gotten better and better and better, and I'm at the top of my game in my city, and I really don't know where else to go from here. I kind of want to give up, and I'm not too sure if I should keep doing this, but it is my dream, and I really, really, really want to get on. So if you have any advice, I would greatly appreciate it, and I love the three of you. Thank you.
What Chelsea, in the witness protection program is going on?
Chelsea, just to give you a little, so Drag Race, they audition every year, and the audition process is very rigorous. I audition five times before I go on. You audition about
Four times.
Four times. And then, so the audition process is crazy. You have to answer like 40 questions in and out of drag. You have to do an acting challenge. You have to sew something. You have to like model 20 of your looks. It is a very rigorous, hard process. So when you do it, and each time your tape ends up being like about 30 minutes long, which is like about 2 hours of footage you're cutting down and truncating to that. So it is really hard. Oh. Just so you, yeah. So that's why this person is saying they do it every minute. It's hard.
I want to say this. This is just my humble opinion. If your end game in drag is to get on RuPaul's Drag Race, that's what I think that you might be in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Like, Drag Race is not a means to an end. Drag Race is not like you. Drag Race should not, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, should not be the pinnacle for your success.
Yeah.
It should not be like, if you're like, if I don't get on Drag Race, then what was I doing this all for? You know what I mean? Also, something I learned, I used to work in children's theater where I would cast children in shows. It was called the Missoula Children's Theater. We'd travel around the world and put kids in these shows. And what I realized was oftentimes some kids would not get cast in the show. They get very upset. They'd be very, very hurt. We had this line we'd say, if you did not get cast in the show, it does not mean that you were not good enough. It just means that there was not a part that was just right for you. And that is not bullshit. I firmly believe that. I truly believe that, actually. I don't think that's bullshit. Just because you weren't on RuPaul's Drag Race does not mean you're not good. It does not mean you're not as good as a girl who's been on the show. Yeah. It just means that you didn't fit perfectly in this specific cast. Jacob, can I get that back, please? It just means you didn't fit in this cast. That's all it means. It does not mean you weren't good. It just means you weren't right at this period of time.
I think that's good advice for everybody. You know, when you don't get in or you're rejected from something, like, everyone has a tendency to take everything so personally. I think that's really good to remember, because sometimes it really doesn't have anything to do with you, even though it always feels like it does.
Yeah. And I mean, and people, girls ask us every year, they're like, oh, what's the secret to getting on the show? You know, I auditioned five times and I ended up becoming really close to one of the executive producers on the show, the co-execs, Jacqueline. And she was telling me, I was like, tell me, why didn't I get on all those times? She's like, it's because personality. And I realized on all those tapes before I got on, I was trying to do this drag thing. I was trying to put on this drag character. I thought that that's what the show wanted. I wanted to, like, to show them, oh, I can be this type of character on the show. And honestly, she was like, what you did on the last time was that we saw like who you were. Like, we saw you were just yourself. You weren't trying to put on. You weren't trying to put on for the camera. You're being your fucking self. And that's why, because the show wants you on the show. They don't want, because if you pretend to be something, that will only last for so long. And then the real you is going to show and you're going to look crazy on TV and you're going to be the fucking villain, whatever it is. Just be your natural self. And that's how you get on the show, in my opinion.
Yeah. And also, you don't have to be on the show. You can be a drag queen and not be on the show. I just want to throw that out there. It's okay to want to be on Drag Race, but if it's your end goal, I think that you might want to restructure your definition of success and what that means for you personally. I want to thank you. Do you have any last advice you want to give? I think it's applicable to other things outside of just Drag Race.
Yeah, no, I think you guys said it well. I don't think I can say it any better. I think that's good advice.
Yeah, we said it. No, I'm just kidding. I want you all, please go get tickets to go see Vaccinated and Horny on tour right now. Chelsea, yes, where can we get tickets if we want to go? By the way, Chelsea will not fly around the world to avoid you like she did Monet.
No, Chelsea, if you are not
at the Wilson on the 5th, I am going to literally.
Oh, no,
I'm
coming.
Going to.
You're coming. We're going to hook you up. Paul from PR or Alec is going to hook you up. With tickets, okay. May 5th. But I'm definitely coming to a city near you, so you can get, I'm going all over the place. I'm going to Alabama and Louisville, Kentucky, you guys, okay? So you get tickets at ChelseaHandler.com.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Chelsea, this has been
so
great having you here on the pod.
This was so much fun, you guys. We'll have to hang out in person sometime soon. Well, at the Wilter.
Yeah, and you and I can give Bob, we'll just slip a few mushrooms in Bob's cocktail. He'll never
never know what hit him.
I'll email you or DM you my phone number.
Okay.
Same Z's.
Okay, guys. I love
Bye,
you guys.
Chelsea.
I love you girls.
Love you so much.
Bye.
Imagine an app designed to make you use it less. Seems counterproductive, right? Well, Apartments.com's instant alert feature works exactly that way. Instead of scanning rental listings a million times a day, simply set and forget your search to whatever you're looking for in the place and let Apartments.com do the rest. From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tool lets you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking is listed. So now you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alert means you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time to do you. Apartments.com, the place to find a place.